Live from the Journeys Group studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good afternoon. This is George Pate.
And this is Tommy Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is Wednesday, April the 17th. I am in mourning. I know. I'm in all black today. I'm wearing a veil.
I couldn't afford to go any out, buy anything black.
Oh, this was just a trash bag I found in the closet. Tax day was this past Monday, as I'm sure everyone well knows. I hope, I don't really know what I hope. I hope everybody got through it okay, I suppose. I hope most of you got money back or didn't owe anything at the very least.
People got money back?
That is a thing that happens.
Never heard that.
It is possible for you to get money back on taxes.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
When's the last time you had that happen? 40-something years ago?
1962.
No, we joke around the office that because he and I usually end up owing something at the end of the year just for – and I've never quite been able to figure that out, how we end up owing when I look at my tax return. But anyway, so we end up owing money at the end of the year somehow. And he leaned away from the mic. I thought he was about to like fall out of his chair crying.
No,
anyway, it
was just, no.
We always joke when.
If you listened to the show last week, you should stop this negativity because we're better off. Dr. Paul Krugman, the New York Times, Nobel Prize winner.
He's not a Nobel Prize winner.
What's Nobel Memorial Prize? What is that? I looked it up. It's still.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an offshoot of the Nobel. I don't think it's like the. I think it's like the silver medal in Nobel, I guess. I don't really know, to be honest.
No. It's a participation.
Listen, I'm not discrediting the guy. I mean, clearly he's intelligent. He's a professor. He's got a PhD in economics. He won a Nobel, some sort of Nobel Prize. I mean, clearly the guy is educated. You can't tell from his writing, but. Clearly.
Okay, when I was in Cub Scouts, I won a prize in the Pinewood Derby. Does that make me an expert on the aerodynamics of a race car?
Makes you a lumberjack. you're not an engineer by any trade.
Yeah. Well, why don't you introduce us? We have much to talk about today.
Yes. My name is George Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
My name is Tommy Pate. I, too, am a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group. Soon to be locked up by the government.
By the CIA or the FBI or somebody. We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden. Our phone number is 252-304-1019. Again, 252-304-1019. 1019, or you can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that we rotate on it. It has our contact information as well as our physical location, which hopefully by the end of this year will be changing. The building is coming along slowly but surely. It has links to our social media, our YouTube channel, our Instagram page, and our Facebook page. It has links to our upcoming events. Our next one is our golf tournament, 2 weeks. And last but not least, it has a landing page for the podcast, Taking Care of Business. So if you miss a show and want to catch up, we're on 19 different podcast platforms. So pick your favorite one or the one that has the prettiest logo, and you'll be able to hear everything we talked about in the past. The last couple of weeks have been, or this last week and this week are amusing. I have to say amusing so that I don't burst into tears. But anyway, if you want to catch up, that's the place to do it. Today we are continuing our discussion of Bidenomics on the other side of the table. Yeah. Last week we gave the New York Times op-ed, the left wing columnist, his time in the Taking Care of Business spotlight, and now we're going to look at the other side and talk about where we think the truth lands.
Now let's summarize last week. Again, we were using a column written by Dr. Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize winner, obviously very intelligent individual. and some of the quotes were obviously a very strong believer in Joe Biden and his policies. Some of the quotes were, I don't know, maybe I'm just not smart to understand them, but one of the things he stated was that, well, multiple times during the article, he stated that even though the American workers don't feel like they're better off, they are. In three paragraphs consecutively, wages were up 3.9, wages were down 3. And when you're counting the increase of wages, you really can't count the cost of food and energy because that's not Biden's fault.
He was very, he was dismissive and then very, and then contradictory of himself. I mean, he would, just contradict himself within five sentences. And so it was kind of hard to glean any sort of truth or fact. Now, again, this is an opinion, but it's hard to glean any sort of, I guess
pearls fact is, of wisdom.
Yeah, pearls of wisdom when you're contradicting yourself every other paragraph.
Okay. So let's talk about the other side. All right. One of the things that Dr. Krugman repeated numerous times was that, that inflation is down, substantially down. And it is. Because it was 9%.
Compared to last year, yes.
Yeah. Let's look at this. The results since Joe Biden took office, overall prices are up almost 18%. And it costs the American family $11,400 more per year just to maintain the quality of life. Now, the left would say, but you can't count food and oil, food and gas. Mm-hmm. So it's really not that much once you take that out. The high cost of living is forcing 1 in 8 retirees to reenter the job market. Now, all this is in the last 4 years, or last 3 years.
Not even. Mm-hmm.
According to figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is
a federal entity,
since Biden came into office, Americans are paying 25% more for chicken, 18% more for American cheese, 27% more for ground beef, 71% more for eggs, 16% more for milk, 14% more for fruits and vegetables, and 23% more for potatoes. Now you understand why the columnist last week said you can't count food if you're going to be fair.
Because it totally, if you're going to be fair, that's funny, yeah.
Let's talk about fossil fuels. The day after Joe Biden was inaugurated, gas was $2.38.
Was it that high? Okay. Mm-hmm.
By June 14th of that year, the price was $5 per gallon. Now, since then, it's back down to $3.28. But it's still 38% higher than when President Biden took office. Home heating oil is up 44%. And electricity and natural gas are both up 29%. Now, again, the people that support Bidenomics say that you really can't factor in things like the cost of food and the cost of energy because those aren't Biden's fault.
I was going to say, I wonder what their logic behind you can't count that stuff is. But if they're saying he has nothing to do with that, we talked about that last week. Hmm.
The president has been repeatedly warned his reckless spending would trigger inflation. Former Obama administration economist Larry Summers, on the president's $1.9 trillion COVID spending bill, there is a chance that macroeconomic stimulus on a scale close to World War II levels and normal recession levels will set off inflationary pressures of a kind we haven't seen in generations. He was right. The president also has a habit of creating major problems and then take credit when things improve. He set inflation to a historic high of 9%, but now he wants to take a victory lap because inflation is only 3.9%. Look what I did. I brought it down. Now, the food prices haven't come down. Biden is famous in his one of his presidential ads, quote, "We're bringing down prices across the board," end quote. Now, here's the Congressional Budget Office's projection about the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, Inflation Reduction Act, as you know, was...
had nothing to do with reducing inflation.
Yeah, but this is what the Congressional Budget Office, and I'm quoting...
again, another federal entity here.
...made this projection. In calendar year 2023... inflation would probably be between 0.1% lower and 0.1% higher under the bill than it would be under current law. What comes between 0.1 higher and 0.1 lower?
Zero.
So the Congressional Budget Office said this hasn't done a thing.
Yeah. It's either going to do a little bit in either direction or nothing at all.
Harry Truman had a thing on his desk, a famous placard on his desk. Remember what it said?
I do not. I don't know.
The buck stops here.
The buck stops. Huh.
He was saying, I'm responsible for everything that happens in America. Such would say.
What a concept.
If you listen to Biden, the cost of living crisis has nothing to do with him. He blames shrinkflation, price gouging, and greedy businesses. The buck stops anywhere but on his desk. So that's inflation, all right? Let's talk about...
What else have we got to put me in a rousing good mood
let's
today?
Let's talk about energy.
Oh, this is a good one for you.
Because, again, according to the New York Times...
We can't count energy.
The energy prices are not President Biden's fault.
Let's go back in time to January of 2021.
Well, since Joe Biden entered office, this is according again to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, okay. Again, a federal entity.
Okay.
Since Joe Biden took office, energy costs are up 32%, home heating oil is up 44%, and gasoline's up 33%, electricity and natural gas are both up 29%.
Because they're the ones that measure the CPI, is that right? They're the ones that put out the CPI? Okay.
Correct. Now, here's the real irony.
Okay.
The wealthy pay a much lower share of their income on energy than poor people. Obviously, if you make $5 million a year and you're spending $25,000 on gas, you don't feel it so bad. And I'm being facetious. If you make $50,000 a year and you spend $25,000 on gas, you feel it.
Yeah, that's how proportions work.
That's why high energy prices are so insidious and really hurt people that are in the lower economic brackets and on fixed incomes. The very people that this current administration says they're helping. Now, again, the article we quoted last week from the Times didn't discuss food or energy prices at all, because they said it wasn't President Biden's fault. All right. Let's talk about gas. That's the easiest thing to talk about. I was looking at the energy prices on heating and cooling, which is up dramatically as well. According to information available from AAA, everybody knows what AAA is, American Automobile Association, on the day President Biden took office, January 21st, 2021, the average gas price was $2.38. By June, it was $5 per gallon. Instead of working, this is where I directly disagree with the New York Times. Well, I do all the time anyway, but New York Times stance is that this isn't President Biden's fault. Instead of working to bring gas prices down, President Biden's energy policies have done one aim, and that's to promote a climate agenda. They've ratcheted up regulations that include additional costs on every part of the oil and gas supply lane. They've slow-rolled new oil and gas leasing in federal lands. They've suspended leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They've reversed Trump administration's reform to oil and gas rules. They signed legislation reinstating a 28-year-old tax credit on oil imports. So they're giving tax credit for a foreign countries to bring oil to us. No policy. I mean, I don't know what to say to that.
That's the one thing I could never quite understand. When Biden first took office, I think there were 36 or 37 executive orders he signed on the first day in office, you know, that obviously other people had prepared and put on his desk for him to sign. And one of the first things he did was shut down the Keystone Pipeline. The Keystone Pipeline made us energy independent. We no longer had to rely on the Middle East or anywhere else for our oil sources, right? And in one stroke of a pen, we became dependent upon another country for our energy. What happens if that country wakes up one day and just decides they don't want to give us that. So that, I don't care which side of the aisle you fall on. I don't understand how anybody can look at that and say, yep, that was a great idea.
But they would say that you're not smart enough to understand the long-term implications.
And I must not be. Yeah. If that's the case, I must not be. But I don't understand how we don't have to rely on anybody, but now we want to cripple ourselves and rely on somebody. I don't understand how that's helpful to anybody.
Let's talk about Biden's decision to halt approvals of liquefied natural gas exports. This decision was actually pummeled with left and right.
Washington
Post editorial board called it an election year sop to climate activists. Wall Street Journal says the division was a raw political payoff to the climate left. Exploiting natural gas is good for America. It keeps natural prices low.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by stopping that, you're taking our partners and allies across the world and sending them to places that don't like us, like Russia, Iran, Algeria, to buy their natural gas. In the wake of Biden's decision, The other thing that's hurting us is the electrical vehicle provisions that are being just slammed through.
Oh, my Lord.
Quote, the White House has said domestic manufacturing for clean airing technology would include participation by Chinese companies. Wasn't his son on some board for China that got...
Isn't he on trial for that?
That's what I was thinking. 5,000 U.S. automobile dealerships wrote the president asking him to hit the brakes on the EVs. November of last year, Ford announced it would reduce the size of its Michigan battery plant. And a month later announced it would cease production in Kentucky of batteries. But again, we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, and again, Biden has no effect on cost of energy.
That's true.
Or the president, I should say. Not just Biden, but any president doesn't have any sort of impact on that.
Let's talk about wages. Over the last 3.5 years, inflation-adjusted hourly wages have declined by 2%. The work week has also decreased. As a result, American paychecks are 4.4% less than they were before Biden took office. 85% of Americans are worried they'll lose their jobs in 2024. Layoffs are coming out the yin-yang. Let me give you a couple statistical reports here. And this is company layoffs. This is not what we think is going to happen. This has happened. Cisco laid off 5%. Citigroup laid off 10%. eBay laid off 9%. Estee Lauder, 5%. Hasbro, 20%. LA Times, 20%. Okay, there is something good there. Levi's, 15%. PayPal, 9%. Roomba, 31%. Wayfair, 13%. Xerox, 15%. So these are companies that, these are layoffs. I mean, these are companies that have done it. Not discussed it, but have done it. All right, last but not least, let me give our phone number in case you want to call and give us some hate mail, by the way. If you disagree with this, by all means, call. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'm probably not smart enough to, to handle it, but I can certainly give you some information. Our number is 252-304-1019. Again, 252-304-1019. Be glad to talk to you and share your concerns or maybe teach George and I something because we certainly don't know everything. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't have anything to say.
The national debt when Biden took office was $27.8 trillion. It's now $34.2 trillion. Now, here are new spending initiatives that Biden has sent out.
That's almost a 25% increase in the national deficit in 3 years.
The American Rescue Plan, $2.1 trillion. The Infrastructure American Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, $573 billion. The Inflation Reduction Act, $1.35 trillion. Increased interest from all this new spending, $436 billion a year. We should also note that the Joint Tax Committee has revised its cost estimates for the Inflation Reduction Act clean energy provisions from $271 billion to $570 billion, a $300 billion increase. This is all new spending. This is stuff he's added to the federal budget. This is not increases in existing programs. This is new spending. And so now our interest payments have gone up $500 billion per year. Per year. In 2024, the interest on the federal debt will top defense and Medicare spending. So we're spending more on ridiculous borrowed money than we are on defense.
And health insurance.
And taking care of our people. With the fiscal pass going on, there will soon be a call for massive tax increases. But the left says, don't worry. We're only going to tax the rich.
Bull.
But even a study by Manhattan's Institute's Brian Ridley budget demonstrates that even with an aggressive tax the rich strategy, we would not come close to getting our deficits under control. Our projected budget gap is projected to be 10% of GDP. If you maximally tax the rich, then that would close the gap by only 2%. Where's the other 8% going to come from? That's right.
You and I'm pointing. You can't say I'm pointing. All right, let me ask you a question. We got about 4 minutes left here. Where do we go from here?
I don't know. And kind of the reason why I want to talk about this today is I've got 2 points I want to make over the last 2 weeks. One is, unfortunately, in this world of ours, there's absolutely nowhere to go for unbiased information.
Yeah, to be honest, I think the truth falls somewhere in between these two articles we've read. Now, I'm more inclined to believe today's article, but I'm not so naive to think that is absolute, that is the end-all, be-all fact. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle.
I would like to think that the American people are smart enough that those that are hardcore Democrats, if they read the articles, if they read the gentleman of the New York Times saying, whether you know it or not, you're better off, you're just not smart to figure that out. If they read statements saying, hey, you really can't count food and energy as part of the problem, I would like to think the American citizens would go, well, that's a bunch of crap. Unfortunately, both sides, left and right, are going to believe their narrative no matter what the facts say. They're going to believe that, well, that's just, Tommy and George are conservatives, so they just took that article and twisted it. Let me assure you, every quote I told you from that article was directly from the article.
Yep.
All right, so it's hard to discount things like when federal reports come out that are the Congressional Budget Office, the labor statistics, that kind of thing. It's hard to argue that when that is an agency that is part of President Biden's administration, yet directly contradicts what he's saying. And I don't understand why people can't read stuff like this or hear stuff like this. Goodness sakes, do your own research. It's all over the internet. Even if you don't believe us, and make changes, because we are, we're part of an administration that has taken God out of just about everything, that has normalized unnatural things. And yes, I'm talking about homosexuality and transgender, that is spending money for causes that most of you don't believe in, but that you support it. I would dare say the vast majority of the people that vote Democrat are good, hardworking people that don't support things like their money's going to. So in the, as elections are coming up, take the time out and do some research on your own. Both sides have skeletons. Both sides have dirty laundry. But go with the side that closely, as close as it can be, represents your interest, your beliefs, your personal beliefs. And if nothing else, use the Bible as your basis. You can't go wrong with that.
if I were to use, I thought about this recently, if I were to use the Bible to decide who I was going to vote for, I wouldn't vote for anybody. Mm. I mean, truly, that's, I just wouldn't vote at all. But,
oh, truth for that.
But that's a good point. I mean,
anyway, the last 2 weeks have been kind of opinion shows, although we've tried to put as much statistical data in as we can. I'm sure some of you loved it, and I'm sure some of you turned the channel. We appreciate you letting us ride home with you today. We promise next week we'll be less vitriol. We look forward to visiting with you next week. Hope you have a great week. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.